because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws and too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've gotta be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the man. Right to self-defense. They say you're stable, but they don't make sense. Dangerous money will not turn into guns. All the need is always asking for. All you buy is made on foreign shores. Come a day when you'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free the way God made
broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all of the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Rome County, Tennessee. And I definitely want to thank everyone for being here. Special shout outs to Movin, who gets today's prize, being first in the chat room, closely followed by Chief, host of Simple Facts of Life. Thank you guys for being here in early. And, of course, tonight's just a one-hour show, so it always gets a little crowded, especially on a busy breaking news kind of Tuesday. I am scheduled to be joined by Dr. Bruce Hartman, the founder of Gideon's Partners, and, of course, the author of Jesus and Company, discussing a little bit about why you just don't hear any of the Democratic wannabe presidential candidates even talking about God. So we'll discuss that a little bit. But man, oh man, oh man, oh man. You ever have one of those days where the breaking news of the day just completely overwhelms everything that you were going to talk about? Everything that you planned on having on your discussion list? Well, that certainly happened to me today. But I am still going to try to make some time for stories that I still think are more important than just the breaking news of the day. Now, of course, the two big breaking news stories today is he who I do not like to mention. the actor, the singer, the dancer, the Jared Part 2, Man About Town. Chicago's very own star of stage and screen, Mr. Is it okay to call him Mr.? I don't know. The whole gender fluid bit, it's gotten so. I used to be pretty certain how to address a homosexual, you know, pretty much sir or ma'am. You do the same thing. Unless they made you mad and then you address them whatever the circumstances are. But when you don't know them, you know, it's just, hello, sir. You know, the point being, there's not anything different. But in the modern age now, with all the extra letters added on, whatever happened to the good old days when it was just LGBT? And then Q, and now W, and sometimes Y. I don't know where this is eventually going to end, but I don't want to gender identify, use the wrong pronoun. You know, I don't care. I'll call it like I see it. And obviously, that's the big news of the day. And there's a lot to unpack there initially. But if I really get started, I'm probably going to take too long. So I will come up to that a little later if I have time. The other big breaking news story is we finally got the first official vote on the Green New Deal. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, in case you've missed it, in case you haven't heard yet, not a single senator voted for the Green New Deal. Now, obviously, Ms. Ocasio-Cortez doing her thing in the House of Representatives has no real influence over in the Senate. But it would appear that not a single senator that was willing to place a vote was willing to vote on behalf of the bill. Not one. Kind of making its way around the conservative news outlets, it would appear that the House leadership decided to bring in an inspirational, motivational speaker to try and help, you know, rein in the freshman Democrats just a little bit. They brought in Barack Hussein Alu Akbar Obama. Yeah, the very same Barack Obama that Ilhan Omar has already called a killer who got away with it. Just, has it even been 2 weeks? But Barack shows up, and guess what? It doesn't work. Nancy, again, uphill climb. I still don't quite feel sorry for you, given the things you've said and done over the years. But at some point, I almost feel sorry for you, almost, because, you know, the whole herding cat thing and getting a taste of your own medicine, if it wasn't for the fact that you deserve what you're getting and then some, I really would feel bad for you. So it's almost, but not quite. Also, since last we spoke, you know, we mentioned on Sunday's broadcast the fact that the Mueller report had come in. Well, actually, just a little before the show went on, and I did not see in breaking news while I was on the air, the official summary from the current AG was delivered. And, of course, by now, everybody's went through everything with a fine-tooth comb. And ultimately, it appears that there was, in fact, no collusion, although Mueller did say near the back, and you got to look really close if you're going to catch this, but according to Robert Mueller, all of the actual evidence that proves Trump colluded with the Russians was taken from him on the streets of Chicago while he was at a subway by two men wearing MAGA hats and strangely dark-complected for fans of the MAGA. It's a very strange situation. I don't know what to really say about it. It's just something special, something special. All right, see, since I last peeked in the chat room, we have already filled up nicely. We've got Alaska COGs joined us. Kel, the Infidel Fox, finished up her round of Infidel watching over at IAW Radio, part of the Global Patriot Network, which you can find right here at the BTR Home broadcasting platform from 6 until 8 p.m. Eastern. Of course, you can also find Kel at Red Fox Blogger Radio on, Tuesdays and Thursdays? Is that right? No, it's Mondays. Today's Tuesday. Why do I always do that? I should not do that. She's on Mondays and Thursdays, and I apologize, Kel, from 2 until 4 most of the time, p.m. Eastern time. We also have, like I already mentioned, Moving Forward, first one in tonight. Good job moving. And Chief of Simple Facts of Life, also a great show. He's on Wednesdays right before my Wednesday night broadcast. He's from 6 until 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And then we've got Vorpalbite, who has joined us as well. So thanks, guys. Thanks for hanging in. Glad to have you here, as always. And quick programming note also before we delve too far into the stories that I really want to get into, since I've already wasted almost an entire half of the first part of the show. Bringing it says he was stuck in traffic. But for those of you listening to KYAH 540 AM, let me let you guys know that if you listen all throughout the week, Monday through Friday, every morning, thank you. If you're tuning in on Saturdays for the two-hour time block there, thank you. But starting this weekend, Tap Into the Truth will be on for yet another 2 hours. That's right. They're bringing me back to the Sunday spot as well. I will be doing some programming on Saturdays to record for that purpose, so you guys will have fresh material rather than having to replay what you're hearing on Saturday. So we'll be doing an extra 2 hours. So now 7 days a week legit on KYAH. Thank you, Utah. I love you guys as much as you seem to be loving me. So thank you. Anyway, let's get into this. There is something that was actually growing and is still being reported, but it was going to be the big story of the day, I think, until Jesse Smollett happened. And that is, we started getting reports over the weekend, but of course, here in America, who's paying attention to the news over the weekend? You know, besides people like radio show hosts, for example. The rest of you guys, and I don't blame you, not much really changes usually over the weekend. But this story did start breaking over the weekend, and it started getting some serious playtime early this morning, even among the mainstream. Well, because, first of all, the mainstream media is desperate for anything to distract us from the Mueller investigation concluding that there was no collusion. So desperate that they would be willing to talk about the ridiculous exoneration of a third-rate actor on a second-rate show on what used to be one of the more halfway decent networks on television. Not that that's saying a whole heck of a lot when you look at the competition. The story I'm talking about, Russia is in Venezuela. They're not just trying to influence Venezuela anymore. Russia is in Venezuela. We had two Russian Air Force planes that were carrying somewhere close to an estimated 100 members of the Russian military and a handful of strategic advisors that landed in Caracas, Venezuela on Saturday in an overt demonstration of support from Vladimir Putin and his government for Nicolas Maduro. We had that. Then again, these two planes, according to Reuters, took off from Russia on Friday. They landed in Caracas on Saturday, and there was yet a third plane that was expected to arrive today, and it has been verified officially now. It has arrived. All three planes are carrying Russian troops as well as high-placed military advisors who are reportedly in Venezuela to advise Maduro on how to handle the country's ongoing crisis. Translation, this is how we keep America out. This is how we keep you in. This is how Russia keeps getting cheap oil from Venezuela. That's what that translates into. At any rate, according to Reuters, the flights carried officials who arrived to exchange consultations. Russia has various contracts that are in the process of being fulfilled, contracts of a technical military character. The BBC added to some of the reporting stating that on the ground they saw around 35 tons of equipment offloaded from the planes, but could not identify the cargo specifically. Now, I'm kind of curious how you can give a reasonable estimation as to the weight of what's being unloaded if you can't actually see what it is and, you know, maybe look up specifications. But again, the state of current journalism is kind of lazy. So you spend just a few minutes on Twitter, you pick up with what somebody else is talking about. And if you can't find a simple answer on Google or on Twitter, then you just make up a number and run with it. That's where journalism is. The real translation here is I think they don't want to admit the fact that Russia sent tanks and who knows what else. Anyway, Maduro has told Venezuelan state media this past week that Russia intended to bring medicine to the alien country, which has blocked all aid from the United States, from Canada, and from any and all other Western nations. Russian officials were kind of, shh, don't tell anybody about what was actually in the shipments. They, of course, are saying humanitarian aid, but when we see Russian soldiers and tanks and various other military equipment being unloaded, one thing we can be sure of is it's not humanitarian aid. It's probably just more backup to keep the actual humanitarian aid from getting into the country. Of course, I am speculating about that last statement. They may very well be there to smack Maduro around, tell him, hey, goober, your people are starving and they're sick, they're dying. Take the Americans and the Canadians for all they're worth. Then stay in power. That would seem like a very Russian thing to do. At any rate, whatever Russia is delivering to Maduro seems secondary to the message that they're clearly trying to send to the Trump administration about their increasingly close ties to the Venezuelan government. The United States Secretary of Mike Pompeo, of course, spoke to Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Okay, so I'm butchering it again. My East Tennessee tongue, not so good at Russian. Forgive me, Sergei. It's not intentional. Anyway, they spoke Monday morning, and according to Sergei, it was clear that the Russians want the United States to back off sanctions placed against Venezuela and to dial down their support for Maduro's political opponent. The self-proclaimed Venezuelan president. Yeah, and I'm kind of getting tired of the media, even conservative media, referring to the new guy as self-proclaimed. He was proclaimed through the actions of Parliament in regard to the Venezuelan Constitution. I was even watching this a little bit on CNBC, who normally, you know, they're business primarily, and they normally don't have as much of a slant there. But they were making it almost sound like this was pretty much America's fault. It's because of America, and America's trying to pull off a coup in Venezuela, trying to unseat Maduro. No, the United States, we have a vested interest in the security of all nations in our hemisphere. We do. But Venezuela has been in this socialist mess since Hugo Chavez took over. This has been a little while now. And granted, Barack Obama was in the White House for the majority of that time, and Barack Obama has a track record of looking up to socialist dictators as opposed to wanting to confront them or stop them. But generally speaking, I really think if Donald Trump was overly concerned about dealing with Maduro, it would have been a higher priority. You would have seen actions well before the 2+ year mark into the presidency. So I think it's a little bit of a red herring, but hey, everybody's got to have somebody to blame, right? I mean, that is where we're at. Chief is giving me a hard time. East Tennessee tongue, not so good at English either. Where the H blah blah L is Washington. What do you want? Washington, Washington. You're giving me grief over my accent. It's not like I have a thick It's not like I'm talking like I'm one of them there hillbillies all the time down here where you know where I'm at. So just give me a break. At any rate. COG says that if Russia is there in force, they're now officially and forever an enemy country. I think you could probably take that to the bank anyway, COG. And bringing it says, I respectfully disagree in that the CIA wanted Maduro removed. I wouldn't doubt they want Maduro removed. I just don't think it was particularly a high priority. But, you know, anyway, with all that being said, the real thing here is Oregon. Okay, so obviously I've made Chief Madden how I say Oregon. Saying that I say Oregon. Sorry. But I am where I am from, okay? That's about all I can say about that. Now, in regards to that, it's still a story that we really need to keep a close eye on, primarily because Russia in Venezuela equals bad things for everybody in the Western Hemisphere, period. It's just that simple. And as far as anything else is concerned, we really do need to make sure that we don't lose track of which stories here are important. I mean, we got a lot of stuff to unpack. We really do. The Jesse Smollett thing, there is a lot to this story that is absolutely galling. Because, first of all, I can't believe that Chicago, the Illinois state prosecutors, I can't believe these people have literally pushed me to find myself agreeing with Rahm Emanuel. I mean, how far have things gone? How bad have things gone that within a 2-week time period, I find myself having to defend Chelsea Clinton and now find myself agreeing with Rahm Emanuel? And there was something else that happened within the same 2 weeks where somebody on the left was getting hammered in an unreasonable fashion. I'm like, hey, guys, seriously, what is going on? What kind of crazy flip-floppy world are we living in? But as it plays out, how is it that once you have a grand jury seated and an indictment sealed that you can work out a deal? And how is it that you can work out this deal and it still leaves Jesse Smollett free to go around and still pretend that he was innocent? Still pretend that he was as pure as the driven snowbanks that he was trying to meander his way through as he auditioned to be the next spokesperson for Subway. I don't understand how you don't cut this deal if that's what you do, and it doesn't require more than $10,000. Ooh, he has to give up his bond. The cost involved with the investigation to this point, $10,000 is a drop in the bucket. It doesn't matter at all. Well, Chief, I hope it never goes that far. But how do we get to this point? How is Jesse Smollett allowed to, with a straight face, say that he wouldn't be his mama's son if he was capable of all that that he's being accused of? Jesse Smollett, I'm not sure right now your mama wants to claim you as her son, because I'm pretty sure your mama tried to raise up an honest boy. I'm pretty sure that your mama tried to raise you up in a fashion where you would be the kind of man who would be stand up and stand out, who would speak truth, not just truth to power in the eyes of the social justice warrior, but actual, objective truth. to be honest, not to create hate crimes when you're suffering from a lack of hate crimes, not to see that there is a shortage in comparison to the reality and have to go and manufacture one and then still have the nerve to essentially call the Chicago Police Department a bunch of liars in so much as they investigated your extremely bogus claim. Speaks truth to Kamala Harris. Somebody needs to speak some truth to Kamala Harris. She's having a hard time even remembering when Snoop Dogg was releasing records and she was smoking her weed. Kamala Harris has a problem. Movin actually has a pretty good point here, too. Says that the Jesse thing is designed to distract us from the Trump hater criminals who need to be put in jail. And Chief with a knock-knock joke in the chat room. Okay. Anyway, it's something else. And it is a distraction. And, you know, it sucked up all the air in the room, too. Because it is so infuriating to see this two-tier legal system. I mean, Kel hit the nail on the head earlier when she refused to refer to it as the justice system. And, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is we all need to work together and get all our stuff out and make sure that we all can claim to be famous too. Because, you know, to be famous suddenly means that we're not answerable to the same levels. Of course, since most of us are either part of the counter-jihad movement or just generally conservative in nature regardless, we still would not get access to that second tier, that second level. We're not worthy. It's just absolutely, absolutely infuriating. And to see somebody like Rahm Emanuel actually use the term whitewash justice in reference to Jesse Smollett, because you know that's a trigger word for the social justice warrior crowd. It was whitewash. And he used the term more than once. Rahm was actually angrier, I think, than the police superintendent. And you could tell the police superintendent was angry. And rightfully so. But you know what? I am going to give full props to the police superintendent in so much as him keeping his cool. Yeah, it's just he managed to not go over the line and say the wrong thing to make it impossible for him to work with the attorney's office moving forward. His job requires him to be able to. It is unfortunate that happened. And it's unfortunate, more to the point, that it happened today. Because, again, today there was really some momentum being picked up as people that are kind of to the middle of the road and just slightly left of center that were really starting to balk at the reactions that a lot of these elected Democrats were having towards the Mueller report. The reality was really starting to sink in with some of these folks, but here's the distraction. All right, so we're getting dangerously close to that midway point of today's show. So with that in mind, please allow me to hit the Edwards Notebook, and then we'll do the Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Tip of the Month. And when all that is said and done, if all goes as planned, I will return with Dr. Bruce Hartman. So stay with me, guys. I will be right back, unless BTR stops me. But hey, what are you going to do?
For years, I have accurately proclaimed that the number one enemy of America is the government school system. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, many of us understand that what is taught to one generation dictates the direction the nation takes in the next. Any school system that indoctrinates an individual who is elected to government and proposes abolishing airplanes and cows and the ability of we the people to create wealth is bad enough. But when enough people are convinced they should support and vote for someone who wants to turn the United States into a giant Venezuela, then it's past time to take swift action to establish real education that teaches authentic history, mind-building math, English, etc., and supports a higher moral code. When Johnny and Maria can't tell the difference between right and wrong, and their parents don't have enough sense to discriminate the crucial differences, instruct their children accordingly, then the rest of us have a responsibility of standing up and stopping the government school indoctrination madness before Khrushchev's wish to see America buried comes to pass. I'm Ron Edwards. Let's meet Fridays on AmericaMatters.us, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, and 12 a.m. Sundays on Talk America Radio Network.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by David E. Garrett Jewelers.
Dan Perkins here with your songs and stories for soldiers, veterans, tip of the day. An important stride was taken on March the 5th when the president signed an executive order creating the PREVENTS program, specifically designed to address the problem of veteran suicide and homelessness in the United States. The president pointed out that nearly 70% of all veteran suicides are by vets who have never been in contact with the VA. Another part of this new program will provide money for homeless vets to buy housing for themselves and their families. We have to do a better job of helping inform vets what options they have to improve the quality of their lives. Here is your tip of the day. If you hear this spot, go to your nearest VA facility and ask for help. Tell them you want to know about the new PREVENTS program. You can also go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us for updates. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans, Tip of the Day.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thank you very much for staying with me through that brief break. And it is my pleasure and honor to once again welcome back to the show Dr. Bruce Hartman, the founder of the Gideon Partners, and of course the author of Jesus and Company, Connecting the Lessons of the Gospel with Today's Business World. Dr. Hartman, welcome back to the show. Thank you very much for your time this evening.
Yeah, and thank you for having me, Tim.
All right. Well, our previous conversations have always been interesting, and I love the fact that you have the dual background between the business and the theology, and you really are able to make connections that most people kind of instinctively feel if they have a strong faith background, but may sometimes be afraid to express, and you have this you have ability to kind of cut through the minutia too sometimes. So I appreciate that. We'll start out with right now though, because there is this pattern that I think a lot of us have noticed, even if we haven't really put much thought into it. And that is that the people running for the Democratic nomination for president, they almost seem afraid to bring up religion, and they certainly don't want to mention God. Is it fair to say that you've noticed this pattern too?
Yes, it's definitely a trend, and with this slate that will be running for 2020, whether it was Beto or Kathleen or Catherine Warren or even Bernie Sanders, you know, their conversation leads you to believe that they don't have a faith life. And what's interesting is they're also showing a lack of awareness to American politics and government, because every president of the United States in their inaugural address has mentioned God. And there's a number of parts of our Constitution and then even in the Declaration of Independence where the word God is mentioned. And God is permeates most of our government, the Supreme Court. They have a quote from Moses, even above the speaker's podium in the House of Representatives, there's the mention of God. So practically, it's really they're really swimming upstream. But here's the most interesting statistic. 70% of Americans are Christians. 90% of Americans believe in God. 25% of the Christians are what you call evangelicals, and they're heavily weighted towards voting for Republican. So by not mentioning God and not bringing that into their faith, into this the politics of the next presidential candidate, presidential election, they're really restricting who they can get their voters from.
Right. Well, that almost seems to be the point, though. The party itself has been moving to a more of a pseudo intellectual mindset, where they want to kind of play off like Christianity in and of itself is some passe mythology, not that dissimilar to the Greek and Roman gods. And they want to play like their embracement of science. And I'm wondering, do you think part of that has to do with the fact that so much of the party's platform is almost in opposition to a lot of standard Christian beliefs? Take abortion just as one example.
Right. Yeah, certainly. I think the point you were making earlier about the elite, that's who they're playing towards, that's a very, very insightful comment on your part. And, you know, that platform, the elite platform, is abortion. It is no prayer in school. And it is a secular socialist / progressive platform, and driven in large part by our academic community. So, for instance, if you went back 20 years before this transition occurred, with the Democrats, the reason why they lost the last election is they lost the voter in Milwaukee. That voter who worked in a brewery and is probably working two jobs and, you know, owns a house and has a family, that was a Democratic bastion that voted Republican in the last election, in part because they have moved away from recognizing the value of God within that voter.
Yeah, do you see any reasonable explanation for this shift, though? I mean, I get that there are certain fringe values that seem to be becoming a little more mainstream within the party. They do seem to be embracing ideologies from further and further to the left. But
yes,
it does seem to be costing them elections, too, and they don't seem to be making the connection. Is there some other underlying connection that maybe you see that I'm not picking up on?
Well, I think there's two of them, and we saw this in the last presidential election. And it's this point you brought up earlier. Most Democrats are identifying with very strong liberal views, but they're also elitist views. That doesn't play well with middle America. And contained within that is a certain amount of atheism. So some of this is a statistical mistake that they're making, in the sense that if you're really going to represent the people, then you have to speak speak and support what the people want. That's why I brought up these folks in Milwaukee that voted against Hillary, is because they saw her as the candidate from Yale, not the candidate from Missouri or Green Bay. And for many years, that's what the Democratic Party represented. So that's the first piece of it, is it's just, I believe, it's just a statistical error that played itself out in the last election. The other piece of this is you can make a lot of money if you get some form of notoriety and go on a speaking tour, and particularly with colleges. If you take this guy, Ben Shapiro, who's the guy from, I forget the name of the newspaper he writes for, but he's a leading conservative. He can't speak on a college or have speaking engagements because he's so controversial. However, a Democrat with very liberal ideas can get paid a lot of money. So I think some of this may be that this is how they're getting their annuity for their future, by being a quote-unquote spokesman for the liberal left. That's a little cynical on my part. But
well, yeah, because
– go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. But I was just going to say that almost insinuates that at least a percentage of these folks have absolutely no real belief in what they're spouting. You think that to be the case?
Yes, I certainly agree. And what they're saying is what they're saying what they're going to get paid to say in the future. And I'm being cynical about this, but I think that this is a post-election career that they're worried about. If they
well,
don't,
I mean,
can't. Be, I can't believe that Elizabeth Warren actually thinks she's going to get elected, because there cannot be any polls in America that say she's got a shot. So why is she doing this? It's for notoriety.
Right. Well, yeah, there's no question that some of these folks that are in this race, I think, are in it only because they were mentioned as a reasonable candidate at some point in the past, and they've missed their opportunity. But this whole level of virtue signaling that indicates that they want to be hip, they want to be part of the social justice warrior mentality, where social justice means more than actual justice, it really concerns me that amongst all this virtue signaling, I don't see any virtue at all. Wouldn't one of these folks want to stand out a little bit by having some actual virtue to signal to the world?
Yeah, I think it's a good point. I mean, if you stood out for real virtue, not phony virtue, which is I think what we're talking about, and you showed faith, I think that Democratic candidate could actually have a chance of winning.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, and I don't think any of the four that whether it's Beto or Bernie or Kathleen or Elizabeth Warren, I don't think any one of them has a chance, and there is no poll that says they have a chance of winning.
Yeah, I think realistically. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you take AOC, we're all watching her flame out, right? She came in, right. She was the budding new star, everybody was all excited, and all of a sudden what we discover is she sets up an LLC that's the same name as her PAC and siphons off $1 million of campaign spending and puts it into her private LLC. Second thing, Amazon wants to move in New York City. She gets all upset and raises an uproar. Now all the people in New York City are irritated with her. And I don't know if you saw the polls over the weekend, but she's actually a negative. When you look at the positive, the people that approve versus disapprove, she's actually disapproved negative, which is a stunning reversal of where she was with her constituency 90 days ago. So this
right.
is what these new progressives are. It's exactly what we're saying. It's false virtue. They're playing
right.
or pandering and not being able to live up to their pandering.
Now, the party itself, though, at this point, it's almost to this tipping point where if you want to get the nomination, you're in a race to get as far to the left as you can. And I think they're to a point now where they run the high risk of not being able to come back to the center for the general election to have a realistic chance to win. Is there a candidate that you see on the rise that maybe does embody some general slightly liberal, a little to the left or center views that might have a realistic chance of swooping in and maybe possibly still winning this nomination and making a race of it? Or has the party, by virtue of leaning so far to the left for the primaries, pretty much positioned themselves out of the national election?
Yeah, I don't see that candidate emerging, and I think a lot of people are chasing what you call the far left. That's they're chasing that golden ring, and that's going to be too far for them, as you pointed out, to retreat back to what will get them elected. Two candidates that I thought were the adults in the room, I don't think really are candidates. One is Joe Biden, but he has some baggage, but he is an adult. And the other person was Mayor Bloomberg. I think he's already said that he's not going to run.
Right.
So to be president, you got to be mature. You can't just have poppycock ideas and say wild things. So I just don't see who in the Democratic Party is that mature voice that the people of America will respect.
All right. And to reiterate my point, too, I really don't think that anyone with that mature voice would stand a realistic chance of getting the nomination from the party these days, and partially because
right.
of this refusal to acknowledge faith in God. You don't even necessarily have to be Christian. About the only religion that these people are willing to acknowledge and act as if they embrace in some fashion is Islam. And that's just because that's their pet project of the day, so to speak. And I mean, no disrespect to anyone, but they are getting a lot of mileage politically by claiming that these folks are an underprivileged, underserved class in America. And they're so willing to backtrack and take a knee rather than march forward that we saw the Democrats in the House just a couple of weeks ago take a resolution that was meant to be a stunning rebuke of anti-Semitism. And because of outside influence from some of these younger and more radical parts of the party, they switched it up to where it was just a general statement against all bigotry with no teeth whatsoever to actually go back and address the anti-Semitism that started it in the whole start.
Yeah, no, that's a really good analysis, Tim, that, you know, this woman, you know, is blatant anti-Semitism. You know, if you or I had said what she said, we wouldn't have careers anymore, number one. Number two, a lot of people don't realize is if you follow her paper trail and her money trail, she works for Hamas, and she does fundraising for them. And which surprises me that none of the media have picked up on that yet. But it doesn't take that much digging to figure it out. There's plenty of news articles about it. It just doesn't make the national news. And there's some disagreement about whether she married her brother, you know, which is obviously against the U.S. rules, but certainly not against, you know, her society's rules. So pandering to her, I think, is a dangerous game that the Democrats are playing. And especially when you're in a community, you know, we always talk about like every special case has to have somebody fighting for them. In this case, we're talking about Islam. 25% of Americans are evangelical Christians. Who stands up for them? President Trump. That's it. And no matter what he does, they're going to stay with him because they believe he will support religious freedom. So if we talk about identity politics, there's no bigger identity group than evangelical Christians, and they're often ignored.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in the age of identity politics, they're just about the only group that it's perfectly okay to discriminate against.
Yes.
You look at –
it's like,
go ahead.
It's ironic, Tim, that our largest identity group is the one that gets thrown under the bus the most, and the smallest ones are the ones that get lifted up. So it's really – I think you talked about this earlier. It's about faults. It's about a false virtue. What are we really doing here?
Yeah. Well, you know, it seems to me like I think on the one hand that it's okay because we're also the only group left that still lives by the old school age motto of sticks and stones. So we can take it. Go ahead and throw a little
right
on us. Yeah. We'll lead by example.
No, that's right. That's right, Tim. Because our voice isn't one of complaining. Our voice is exactly what you just said. Our voice is always a voice of reason. And, you know, being humble and, you know, it's an important part of being a Christian. And whether you're evangelical or mainline Protestant or Catholic, you know, that is a core principle. But it seems like that this religion, Christianity right now, they're trying to put us into a closet. It won't work because there's too many Americans and there's too much structural pieces of our country that are faith-based. It will be a very hard task for them to move this.
Yeah. Well, once again, Doctor, I want to thank you for your time this evening. As usual, you're very generous with it. Before we part company, please let everybody know where they can find the book. And please feel free to share any websites or any social media contacts if you still invite people to follow you. Anything else you'd like to share, please go ahead and do that right now.
Yeah, so my website is www.brucelhartman.com, and all of our social media is, you can get to it from there. The book is sold in most major bookstores and is also online with Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Then our second book, Tim, is coming out September 3rd. It's called Your Faith Has Made You Well.
All right. Well, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And we'll have to have you back on for sure after that's out so we can talk about that. But quite honestly, I'm hoping we get a chance to speak again before then.
Anytime, Tim. Always available for you.
All right. Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Bruce Hartman, thanks again. God bless. Keep up the good work, sir.
Yeah, bless you as well.
So, thank you. All right. So there we are. Founder of Gideon Partners, author of Jesus and Company. And what else can you say? He's got a pretty firm handle on it. And it sounds like the same things we're hearing from a lot of the other folks within our circles, doesn't it? All right, taking a quick peek back in the chat room, let's give down one more roll call, probably be the last one of the night since we're inside those last 8.5 minutes. We've got Alaska COG, we got Bringing It Boy, we got Heat Sinka. Good to see you, Heat. Welcome back. Don't get to see you in here very often with us, but I'm glad when you do join us. We've got Kel the Infidel Fox, my favorite foxy lady, by the way. Moving forward, and Simple Facts of Life still hanging out. I guess Vorp decided to bounce a little early. I know sometimes I get on Vorp's nerves with all my Pollyanna. And I get it. I understand. Kind of miss Bigfoot tonight. Hope Bigfoot's doing all right. I guess he had another show to go to, or maybe he's off working on his blog. A great blog, by the way. And if you guys out there listening that are not in the chat room are not checking out bigfootsplace.blogspot.com, then you guys need to. Also, by all means, you really need to check out Kel's two shows, Red Fox Blogger Radio, and, of course, Infidels Are Watching, part of the Global Patriot Network. Chief is running Simple Facts of Life. You can find that right here as well. But there's a lot of great folks hanging out here. And Kel brings up the Boyd's not in here with us tonight. And that's true. Boyd the Alaskan must have had something else to go on. And I was not aware that Annie Ubellis was having some health issues until I was listening to Kel's show earlier. I had not seen that. So obviously we want to send some thoughts and prayers out to Annie. She is someone who has earned and deserves the support of the listenership of this show and her show and several other shows. We're a fairly tight-knit community here on BTR, the folks who get to know each other and hang out a lot. It is another social media site, quite honestly. So for those of you who are listening on the radio, listening to replays, or if you're listening on the multitude of places where you hear podcasts, whether that be iHeartRadio or iTunes or Spotify or TuneIn.com or wherever you might be listening to this show, I'm still going to ask you guys to come over here, sign up for free, start participating live, get in with these chat rooms, get to know these folks. These are some great folks over here. I love the fact that they're hanging out, whether they're giving me a hard time or whether they're agreeing wholeheartedly or whether they're just talking amongst themselves about something completely unrelated. Fantastic folks. So please hop over here, get into these chat rooms, listen live, be part of the show. And beyond that, I'm also going to go ahead and ask you to send up a prayer or two for Annie Ubellis, because if she's hospitalized, that means it is serious. She's a tough, tough lady, former NYPD officer. We need Annie back at 100%. So please, if you pray, please say a prayer for Annie. All right, taking a peek at how much time I have left. Not a whole lot going on. Moving says, please pray for cashier at Aldi store to find a home. Well, yeah, I guess we'll go ahead and we'll do full prayer requests. Why not? Evidently, moving is aware of a cashier working at his local Aldi's grocery store that is having trouble finding a home. So let's send some prayers up there, too. Why not? In fact, you know what? We can start doing a full dedication segment at the end if you guys have prayer requests. I don't have a problem with doing that, and I don't think most of the regular listeners would either. But with all that aside, let's do that. Quick programming notes for upcoming. A reminder for those of you listening to KYAH 540 AM, start looking for Tap Into the Truth to return to Sundays. A full two-hour block, and that two-hour block is actually going to be a little later in the evening. It's going to be at 7 until 9 p.m. Mountain Time. So you guys can start tuning in right after church. As you're getting out of church out there, guys, crank it up and listen to some Tap Into the Truth on your way home. Next up for tomorrow's show, we're back to 2 hours. For those of you KYAH, you'll hear this broken up over two shows. You'll hear it on Thursday and then Friday mornings. But I'm joined – well, let me rephrase. I'm scheduled to be joined – I like to use those qualifiers for obvious reasons. Rabbi Spiro will be joining us again. We'll be talking about his recent protest in Nancy Pelosi's office, trying to get the Democrats to – face their anti-Semitism. And then in the second hour, I'll be joined a little early by Dan Perkins, and we'll be talking about the Dems' big push to try and make 16 the legal voting age in federal elections. That should be interesting. We'll see what happens. I'm bringing him in at 8:15, so it's a little earlier than usual. And the only reason I'm doing that is because, well, Dan has a way of saying a lot, and I don't like interrupting because usually it's pretty good stuff. So with all that said, I guess that means it is time to slide this car back into the garage. Quick reminder, as Kel just put out in the chat room, Simple Facts of Life, tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time. You can figure that out live for whatever time zone you're in. And, of course, I'll be back starting at 7 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. And, again, thanks to everybody hanging out in the chat room. Thanks to Dr. Hartman for joining us. And thanks to you guys out there, everyone who's taking the time to listen. And remember, above everything else, no matter what, don't take my word for it. Definitely. Definitely don't take their word for it. Be prepared to put in a little bit of effort, but more importantly, be prepared to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. That's it for me for now, everybody. See you again tomorrow night. And in the meanwhile, this is a little Matt Fitzgibbons. Please, please, if you get a chance, check out patriotmusic.com. If you already have, check it out again. Like I said, he's always working on new projects, and you never know when something new is going to pop up. I especially appreciate Matt for letting me to use some of his songs. This is one of them, one of my favorites. I think this should be in the bumper rotation for every conservative news show in the country. This is Using Both Hands. I'm out, guys. Thanks.
Is using both hands. Found is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the Cottage 223. It gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family.
Using both hands.